the Lord's Prayer, utilizing the terms for principle for the purpose of reflecting the qualities expressed in a structured manner. There are three quotations at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And the first one states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." No matter what the topic is, if we're doing any kind of research, we should be seeking the truth. And of course, the best kind of research to do is about God and His reflection man, so that we can be a better messenger of truth as we let our light shine like a lighthouse. That's the goal, to be a lighthouse in a very humble way. Jesus says something very interesting prior to these words that were quoted about what he said by John, which is in the Gospel of John. He stated, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am who I say I am, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak simply as my Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me now. The Father has never left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him." When the Pharisees asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" He said, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So when he was requested to tell them what was the greatest commandment, he linked those two thoughts together as being the greatest. The message appears to be that we cannot love God without loving our neighbor. And of course, Genesis 1 states that God made man in His image and likeness. So if the image and likeness of God is not loved, in other words, each of us loving ourselves and our brethren, in other words, complying with the golden rule, then how can we love God? And it's stated in the Bible that if you do not love who you can see, you will never be able to love God whom you cannot see. For we know God is not a person, God is qualities. So we need to be looking for God's qualities being expressed by our brethren and recognize them as an image and likeness of God, because we can see that they are expressing God's qualities. Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day to make sure that she was only thinking good about everyone and everything. And she said that was the way that one could actually have instantaneous healing in their work. If we desire to seek the truth, then we have to make sure we recognize that Jesus was not only the Son of Man, but He said, "And lift me up." And that means lift up to the next level, which is the Son of God. So we have to recognize Him as the Son of God. How should we recognize Mary Baker Eddy? as the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. And if we don't, we're not going to be able to understand the messages that she has given us in the textbook. The church in Boston, the day that she passed on, they took her picture out of the book and republished the textbook without her picture in it. They blew up all of the memorial statues that had been installed throughout the Northeast of the United States. They blew up a pyramid that was made especially to show that she was prophesied in the Great Pyramid of Gaza several thousand years previous. They did everything to try to separate Mary Baker Eddy from her discovery. If we don't recognize Mary Baker Eddy as the discoverer, founder, and leader, then we are limiting enormously the results that we can get from studying her textbook and other writings. We, in essence, will be stealing. And a thief can only go in one direction, and that's away from God. The first message is, we should be seeking truth. And if we do, we will be set free from anything that is opposite to truth. The second quotation is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Well, that tells us how to be seeking truth. We have to be putting thoughts of God in our consciousness. If we put thoughts of evil in our consciousness, we are not going to be able to find out anything about truth. The third quote is from Mary Baker Eddy, and it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Prayer. Does God have a set of ears? God is incorporeal. God gave us everything we needed in the only creation that exists. So how does He hear our prayer? His laws, His qualities are announcing themselves continuously. Imagine you're driving along a road and there's a speed limit sign. Maybe you knew the law was going to be that speed limit on that highway, but it announces itself. Same way with God. When we follow God's laws, we will benefit from them. That's announcing themselves. When we don't follow His laws, we have failure at whatever we're trying to do. We cannot have success because we're working against the laws that control the entire universe, all existence. Number one, we have to seek the truth and realize that if we find it, we will be set free. Number two, the way to be seeking it is to feed qualities of God, laws of the universe, into our consciousness. Then we will be able to experience the benefit of that information, that purified consciousness. And if we do this continuously, in other words, living the laws of God, living the golden rule, living everything that those laws represent, the qualities of God, then we will be successful. We cannot fail. There is no other power. So there's no opposition. One way to start that is effective to learn about God, get it more embedded in our thought, is to study the definition. God is defined throughout the 700-page textbook. Chapter 14 is a recapitulation of chapters 1 through 13. And the very first topic in that chapter is God. The whole chapter is in question and answer format. God is on the very first page. It says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, it says the definition of good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Omniscience includes all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. It all starts with mind. Mind is the creative force. And mind provides capacity, capability, functionality, facility. And we need to use those qualities of mind no matter what other synonymous term that we may be focusing on. If we're thinking about substance, which of course is a quality of spirit, we have to be realizing that we need to look at it in an intelligent manner. We can't think of substance as being temporary. That's not anything substantial. We have to know what we're dealing with. That's a quality of mind, knowing, wisdom. We have to make the right decisions, no matter what the topic is that we're considering. So that's mind working with these other synonymous terms. We have to use intelligence if we're dealing with truth. Say we're building a house. We have to know how to look at the tools that are giving us the measurement on the angle. If it's supposed to be 90 degrees, we have to use the knowing capability of mind to know how to read that instrument to show that it's exactly 90 degrees. Not over, not under, but right on the button. 90 degrees. We have to be intelligent in order to understand what the structure is, which is part of principle. No matter what we're doing, there's a structure, there's a system that is involved. Here are some of the terms that are used to describe God as principle. Spiritual power. apodictical, which means absolute certainty, authority, balance, being, calculus, classification, consistency, conformity, crown, demonstration, economy, establishes, explains, foundation, govern, government, harmony, heart, honesty, idea, individual, interprets, kingdom, loyalty, metaphysics, obedience, one, operation, personal, perfect, platform, practice, proof, rock, science, spiritual power, statement, teaching, unity, universe, universal. There are a few terms that are listed as the opposite of principle, seven of them. And these terms are fragmentation, discord, dishonesty, personal, hypocrisy, theories, and ungodliness. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer and see how these terms can link up to the ideas that are provided to us when we study the Lord's Prayer. If one looks at Genesis chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2, it describes seven distinct days of creation. Those match up perfectly with the seven synonymous terms for God. So the first day is representing mind. The second day is representing spirit. The third day is representing soul. The fourth, principle. The fifth, life. The sixth, truth. And the seventh day of creation is a symbol of love. Love includes the definition of wholeness, fulfillment, completeness. Those are terms that help explain what love is all about. That's the reason it is the seventh day, because everything else had to be done before fulfillment could be obtained. It's not complete unless all of the other terms, the qualities that they represent, are considered. It's like a garden. We want to nurture every single part of the garden to make it complete. The spiritual interpretation is so very important in understanding the Lord's Prayer. So we will study that along with the original text. The first day is represented by this verse: Our Father, which art in heaven. The interpretation: Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Mary Baker Eddy often uses the term love with principle. She may say, divine principle love. Principle is self-operating. The structure means that this is the structure on which every principle is based. Now, one of the terms that describes principle is apodictical, which means absolute certainty. We can't be building our structure on the beach in the sand. Sooner or later, the water is going to wipe it out. So we have to use intelligence on where we are building our structure and what we're using as the elements. And since spirit is the only substance, then we must be using spirit as the element. So everything in the structure must be spiritual. If we try to build our wealth on money, is that going to last? Read about a little history. Germany. Their money became worthless. Zimbabwe. Money became worthless. In fact, even the U.S. dollar. You used to be able to buy a new car back in the 1930s for like $300, $400. And now, you can't buy anything for $300 or $400 in the way of a new car. Consistency is another word to describe principle. If our structure is not consistent, we're going to be in trouble. Conformity is another one. Foundation. Honesty. If our structure is flawed, big trouble. Loyalty. The structure is always going to operate. Proof? Well, it's like it's always going to operate. Demonstration is a word that describes principle. We can always demonstrate the truth if we abide by the laws of God. Unity. It all fits together. The second day of creation and the second verse of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Hallowed be thy name. It has to be pure. Rock is another term to describe principle. We're not going to want to adore something that is a fudgy, variable, something that changes. We want something that is solid, with real foundation, a word that I mentioned to you previously. An opposite of principle is discord, and fragmentation is another one. So we can't have that as a part of our structure. It won't last. The third of the 7 days is soul, and the Lord's Prayer says, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present. Now, soul is identity. We have to use soul when we refer to our structure. We must identify all the elements of our structure properly, or we're not going to have a good structure. We can't be inconsistent. One of the terms that describes the opposite of structure, principle, is hypocrisy. So we say one thing and do something else. We have to be fixed without deviation in our structure. It needs to include all of the qualities of God. Otherwise, it's not going to be reliable. We're going to have weak links. Now, the fifth day of creation is represented by life. And the Lord's Prayer says this: give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. So life, give us this day our daily bread. What is going to sustain us in these 7 days of creation? It's going to be life. And that life is going to be sustained by constant input of spiritual ideas. That is the bread. Give us each day our daily bread, our sustenance, our understanding of God and of how man is the reflection of God. This all fits together so beautifully. We have a day, and within that day, we have the Lord's Prayer, and within that day, we have the synonymous term for God. And they all fit together just like a hand in glove. Suppose we were traveling in a vehicle and we observed an accident. We could think about principle, because with principle, everything is in balance. Everything is harmonious. Those are terms that define, along with other ones, they define principle. They define life. They define the fifth day of creation. They define, give us this day our daily bread. And give us grace for today, feed the famished affections. We have to be hungry. We're famished. Not just hungry, but really hungry. But we don't have to fear, because principle is always in balance. We have to declare these things. We have to affirm it within our own thought. That's where the Shakespeare quote comes in. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We must affirm that there cannot be an accident. We must affirm that God is always in control. God is always balanced. The sixth day of creation is truth. And the Lord's Prayer verse that goes with truth: and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and love is reflected in love. That's keeping us on the path of recognizing what God really is. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to forgive our debtors first. Now, this doesn't have to have any connection to money. Have you ever had anyone do a favor for you? If you're like most Americans, there's always a time that you can be in need and then someone else can help fulfill that. And when you are badly in need, those are the kind of instances that you can never forget. You are so grateful because you were really in need for whatever it was. Someone came to the rescue. They were like the Good Samaritan, not like the priest that walked on the other side of the road. Love is reflected in love, the golden rule. That first quotation, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here it is right here. It is the sixth term for God. We have to have things in balance. We have to be harmonious in how we conduct our life. Mary Baker Eddy says we should never go to bed without having all of our accounts settled. Having a debt on a home certainly is slavery. Mary Baker Eddy, when she was involved in any church building, she made sure the money for the church was fully available and the church was paid for. No debit, no mortgage or loan or anything like that used. She makes it very clear we must settle our accounts every day. This will be the same with any disagreement we have with someone. Do we want that to linger and carry forward to tomorrow in our life? She says no. That's not something we want to carry around with us. We need to settle our accounts every day. Well, the seventh day, we are to the finale, which is love. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. If we have everything in balance, we're not going to be subject to any temptation. We're going to guard our door of thought. Just like Jesus, when he came out of the 40 days from being in the desert, and he was preparing for his ministry, and the devil tried to trick him He says, jump off this temple. And it says in the Bible that God will save you. And Jesus' response said, God also says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't take this hands off the steering wheel and turn around and see if God will take care of you. God is not here to be tested by His image. We're not going to be God's image if we're not going to trust our source. That would be dishonest. That would be against principle, for principle represents honesty. Now there's one more verse to the Lord's Prayer, which Mary Baker Eddy explains. The Bible scholars feel that that was added by a later copyist. Later being after Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the world, and Jesus gave the seven paragraphs, primary key points in the Lord's Prayer. We had people copying these things, and so there may be some words that are different. In this case, they thought that this last sentence was added and that the seventh day was complete after it says, God leadeth us not into temptation. The last verse states, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For God is infinite. All power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Now, all is stated twice. The first time is in lowercase, and the second time is with a capital A. So with a capital A, that's saying that that's God. So that's our source. And the small a represents that it is God's manifestation, which is all existence. In Genesis, the seventh day of creation, said that God made everything and it was very good. That the creation was done, and it was very good. So, complete. Mary Baker Eddy says that this one prayer, which is the only prayer that Jesus gave the world, if it is understood spiritually, that it will heal any problem instantaneously. Well, that's a powerful statement. Any problem can be healed instantaneously if the Lord's Prayer is understood spiritually. So, what is the most guaranteed way to get from where we are to where we can have those kind of results? We have several authors out of the 100 or more that we have on our website that was able to do that. One of them is Joel Goldsmith. He had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, he was done. Frederick L. Rawson, 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, he was done. He discovered how to heal back in time, retroactively. So the healing took place before the individual even contacted him. After the individual contacted him, then Frederick L. Rawson went to work. But it was effective before he was contacted. He did this over 500 times, he states in his writings. He wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. In it, there's some 200 pages that describe 1,315 different ailments and how to heal them. He was a true researcher, a true metaphysician, a true follower of the Christ consciousness and the scientific understanding of science and health. Helen Wright is the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, and she wrote many books, and one that we really recommend that is directed toward learning the synonymous terms for God is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And chapters 4 through 10 cover each of the seven synonymous terms. Chapter 4 is on mind. Chapter 5 is on spirit, and so forth. We recommend that you study that book from beginning to end, very thoroughly. And then when you're finished, you go back to chapter 4 and study it through chapter 10. And do that continuously as long as you're looking for a better understanding of God and man, and you want to advance your spiritual progress. With the textbook, we recommend you start at the very beginning, and of course you'll be reading those three introductory quotes that are included in this recording, and go to the very end, and the last 101 pages, it's a 700-page book, the last 101 pages are testimonies of healing by 85 different students, and these healings have all been verified to be true. And they averaged around 6 healings per individual. Now, the only thing they studied was science and health of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. Well, I believe that that's true. Maybe they studied one or two other books. But it was primarily focused on the textbook. They didn't have any outside help, and they basically state that they studied it on their own. So those are two books that should be read as indicated, and the textbook, you should go back to the beginning and do it again. And the other book, go to page 4 and do it through 10. And if you will do one other thing, which really seals the effectiveness of your work, and that is to record Everything you read. Everything. And any notes that come to you, any thoughts that come to you, make a note. You can just record it right into your device. I write very little down, and I don't use a cell phone. I like to have big screens where I can write a lot of things. I use 4 or 5 different software to do all these things. Most of them are free. And it really gives you an opportunity to get serious about your studying. Highly recommend that you don't even think about studying without recording, because it will draw out, I would say, at least 100% more in the way of remembering it, understanding it, have new inspiration every time you read it. I would carry a recording device with me and a playback device all the time. Now, how much time should you study? That's an individual demonstration, but I will tell you what Richard Strain discovered. He's on our website. He was at the end of his rope. He didn't know what to do. He was away from home 18 hours a day. And when he got home, he was tired and he was only able to sleep and eat before he went back to work the next day. So he decided he'd go to a practitioner that had a reputation of success. And he said, "What do I do?" She had one question to ask him. "How much time are you studying?" "Every day." Well, he was ashamed to say it, but he said, "None." He said, "I don't have any time. There is no time to study. 24 hours in a day and I'm gone 18 hours. There's no time to study." She said, "If you don't study 5 hours a day, you will not make the progress that you need to make." Boy, it knocked him out of his chair. "How can I do that? I'm only home 6 hours. I'm hungry. I'm tired. You know, I eat, take a shower, and go to sleep. Get up and do the same thing every day, except the weekends." He said, "I have no idea how I could ever do that." She didn't say a thing. She stated the fact and then kept quiet. He sat there and contemplated it. It doesn't say how long. He relates this in one of his recordings that he made, which is on the website. But he came to the conclusion that he didn't have any other alternative. He didn't know how he would stay awake at work after only sleeping. In fact, probably would have been less than an hour because he had to have transportation, you know, to work. And probably had some breakfast or something. The bottom line is, he made the commitment to do it. He said, "I'm going to do it." "Okay, I'm going to do it." He didn't say, "I'm going to try it." He said, "I'm going to think about it." He said, "I'm going to do it." He made the commitment. As a result of making the commitment, he was a man of his word. He did it. He did it. the end of the first week, he said things improved so much in his life that he did not have any problem allocating 5 hours a day to study. He was then in demand at some point to go to other churches and give talks. They contacted him directly. So he went from being in a desperate situation himself to where he was being an inspiration by talking to groups in churches. Are we going to have any distractions? Anything that tries to divert us from doing our plan of studying regularly, recording what we're reading, and also putting it in our own words? We need to stop at every key point and restate it in our own words. Everything we do, we should be recording. And we should be playing that to listen every opportunity we have. We have thousands of moments a day that could be utilized. And you'll want to have some way to listen to it where no one else can hear you, because there'll be many times that you'll be out shopping where you'll be in a crowd and so forth, and you'll want to have it private. I can't recommend enough how valuable it is when you follow that kind of a procedure. You should always be studying one of the chapters in Science and Health, and always studying in the book, Your Divinity Revealed, one of the 7 chapters. That will bring results, particularly the recording of it. Now remember, this is the only prayer that Christ Jesus gave the world. The only one. And he said, you have to recognize who I am before you even understand the truth. You cannot understand his writings unless you understand his position. If you don't recognize it, he's basically saying, don't bother trying to get anything out of the Lord's Prayer. It's amazing how many people name him as God. The Pharisees, when they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? I told you what his response was, but I didn't tell you the first part. They said, dear master, what is the greatest commandment of all? This is very important. He said, why call me good? There is none good but God. There is none good but God. And of course, what is the definition of good? It was on page 587 that I read earlier in this recording. The definition of good is God, Spirit, that's the substance, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. When you're done with your study session for the day, or for the whenever it is, however long it is, maybe you're going to study several times a day. Whenever you finish studying in that session, always express your gratitude for anyone that contributed to your spiritual understanding. Anyone. If you're studying things in the Old Testament, the New Testament, anything at all in the Bible, express gratitude for the authors of the words that you are studying. At least those. Now you can give gratitude for other things, other authors that you didn't study, but make sure you at least include the ones that you studied. And the same with science and health. You study anything in science and health, don't fail to give total credit to Mary Baker Eddy and be grateful for what she sacrificed. Everybody disowned her. They would put her out in the street at the middle of the night before she had enough money to be able to have a stable life. Middle of the night, a woman. Very difficult time. Her family disowned her. She realized that it was between her and God. She even got married one time, thinking that was to Mr. Eddy, thinking that that would be a help for a more stable life and to assist in the work she was doing. But he didn't live very long. A sad ending. It was her and God. She had a frail health. All of her childhood, most of her learning, she did on her own. Not from going to a structured school environment. And yet she was deemed to have a vocabulary that was second only to Noah Webster himself. She says we can all do more than what we do. Just think about what she accomplished. And she says we can all do more. When we are studying, we want to make sure that we state that the truth I am learning cannot be altered or diluted, deflected, stopped, or reversed. Truth is always true, and God gives me the intelligence to recognize the truth and the understanding to realize what it means and the wisdom to keep it pure and not let anything distract me from recognizing it as being true. In addition to reminding one during their study, it is suggested you also make a statement along that line at the end of your study session. And also to close off your study session with a truth about God. whatever comes to you as being the right way to seal it. A few suggestions. You could use the definition of one of the definitions of God, the definition of good. The Lord's Prayer, or a phrase from the Lord's Prayer. The very last sentence in the Lord's Prayer, the spiritual interpretation. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. For God is infinite. All power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen. End of this recording.